Do you like blogs? Well, join the conversation.
Yeah, for years, you know, I didn't blog, and then all of a sudden I thought, you know, there are just certain subjects that are worth writing about and on. Engage, comment on jbsofiasblogspot.com. That's J-B-S-O-F-I-A-S, blog, B-L-O-G, .blogspot.com.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
So this is our seventh roundtable, and thank you, all of you who have expressed your appreciation for this time that Wayne and I have discussed revival.
It's a never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Now I'm changed by for us, change by the word.
Today on Change by the Word, Pastor Bruce Sophia and Wayne Hilliard from Higher Ground sit with us at the round table. Thought-provoking discussions from Revival Revive 2. And to get Revival Revive 2 on DVD or audio CD, visit us at cbtw.org. Here's Pastor Bruce and Wayne.
Change by the word.
So this is our seventh roundtable. And thank you, all of you who have expressed your appreciation for this time that Wayne and I have discussed revival. And as you know, every night has had a different theme. Last night was really interesting because I just felt it'd be interesting. Wayne would say, you know, I just really think we should discuss this tonight. And last night, I strongly felt that we should discuss an individual heart, the posture of an individual heart in relation to revival. And here the whole service took that posture. The heart. And it was interesting. One of our faithful Saturday night ushers came up to me. And after the service, that was what the Lord had laid upon his heart. And that is, where is my heart in relation to revival? Now, last night you had mentioned, Wayne, that our praise, we should not judge another person's praise, right? You want to pick up with that?
Oh, yeah. Because nobody knows what I have been through in order to praise God. If you understood my struggle, you would understand why I praise him with everything that's within me. And so when people have a tendency to look at you and say, well, you don't have to do all that in praising God. Oh, you don't know what I've been through. Because I've been through enough where when I praise God, I get his attention. And it causes other people also to praise him. Do you know that the Bible says this in Psalm 150, that we praise him according to his excellent greatness? We praise him according to his mighty acts. Listen, if God hasn't done anything for you, you don't have to praise him. But if he has done anything for you, I don't know how you can sit there and not lift your voice and praise him.
And I would go one step further. If you don't think he's done anything for you, then do what Jesus said and in this manner pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Start to give him praise, and then all of a sudden you'll realize all that he has done for you, right?
Yeah.
But when you said that and you said, you know, if you've come into church and you feel like you just need to shout, and if you need, and I just looked at Wayne and I like never made a comment. And I'm thinking, people are saying, why didn't the pastor comment on that? And there was a reason for that. Because my experience has revealed over the years that oftentimes when you give license to that, you have someone that has decided that they're going to be the center of the attention of praise, regardless of what's happening around them. And then it's sort of so fleshly that it's kind of upsetting.
Well, my take on it is this, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can handle people being out of order because what we carry, what you carry, is greater than somebody who is out there to be seen. So we were in a service once, and somebody was disrupting the service. They came down the aisle railing at us, and it was so demonic. And we just picked up the pace. We started singing so loud, we outsung the person that was railing at us. And so we overcame because our praise is greater than their noise.
Yeah, amen. So let's talk a little bit. We had discussed this. This was actually where we were going to start on our discussion on what is revival. And we've never gotten there. And that's Ephesians chapter 4.
Yeah.
And I was reading that whole passage this morning, Wayne, and I found it pretty interesting because you brought verse 16 to the table, but all of the preceding verses really talk about the unity of the body of Christ. And how that unity is achieved is finalized in verse 16. So if I may, I'm going to read just a little bit of it. He who descended to the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So who is it descended? Christ, the advent. Who ascended? The ascension, Christ. So that's what it's referencing. It was he who gave some to be apostles, which you had mentioned a couple nights ago, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So I would think that one of the evidences of maturity is that we're one and we're not divisive in the body of Christ.
Right. Yeah, he was the first fruit of a new creation man when he came out of the tomb. And he's the prototype. So we are one in him. We are, the Bible says, as he is in this world, so are we.
Yes.
He's strong and mighty. So that means I'm strong and mighty through God.
And the church said, amen. Yes. And I find that when we hear prophetic words that have come through the discerning Issachar group, that in every instance there's a call to unity.
Yeah.
So we'll continue. We'll get to verse 16. We'll pick up a little bit on it, and then we'll continue it in the next service. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching or doctrine, as some translations say, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Interesting, that's already here in the church. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, you said supplieth, so read your translation.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted together. We are one. And everybody that's in this room this morning is important in the body of Christ. That which each joint supplies, we need everybody in here.
Yes.
Nobody's left out. We are cargo on the ship of Zion headed somewhere.
Amen.
We're going somewhere. So everybody counts. Nobody's left out. We all have a part. The problem is we hope everybody's finding their place.
Yes.
In the body. And I say it this way, stay in your lane. When you know who you are and where your place is and where you fit, don't try to do pastor's job. The pulpit is not, you know, the pinnacle. It's like you are just as important as pastor, believe it or not, okay? You are important in the body of Christ because it's that which every joint supplies. Touch somebody and say, you are a joint. Yeah, yeah. Every joint.
Now, you know what kind of joint he's talking about. All right. What's interesting, Wayne, when I looked this up, the Greek word meant, it actually has its root in a traveling chorus.
Yeah.
And it's, and what happens is it says, so we have this traveling chorus, and then an offering is taken to support each member in the chorus. Otherwise, it couldn't travel. Mm-hmm. And what I find interesting is what makes a choir superb when it's one voice? There's the unity. Mm-hmm. But it's the supply that enables each person to do their part so that the overall presentation...
That's right.
...is one. One beautiful voice.
Right. I mean, I'm glad that I have my heart. I'm glad I have my lungs. I'm glad I have my kidneys. But if one of those was missing, I could not function. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. That which every joint supplies helps us to get to the goal faster.
It does. And a phrase that the Lord gave me a couple weeks ago is, your transparency is another person's victory. Say that with me. Your transparency is another person's victory. That's part of each joint being supplied. How many of you have been here just one night of the revival? Can I see your hands? Where were the rest of you? You don't know what you've missed. We have had 7 days. This will be our 8th service. Everyone has been different. Every speaker has been different. Every move of God has been different. It's been absolutely phenomenal. Say that with me. Phenomenal. You cannot believe the move of God. Every night, each of your ministers, pastoral team, has brought a word specifically to us, relational to their ministry. That's why you see some of these stones left from this morning. These were not the stoning committee. These were actually reminders. As Joshua had the Israelites put up a boulder as an eternal reminder of their vow to God, we each wrote something on our eternal reminders and set them at the altar, prayed over them, and then the majority of people came back and picked them up. Maybe those who didn't will do so next week. So each night we've had what is called a round table. And Wayne, Larry Hilliard, and I have been discussing revival. And it's been sort of a beautiful piece because the Lord has directed us in each evening. We've had each one has had a little thread that's woven its way through the garment of revival. And as we conclude, because this is our 8th roundtable discussion, which, by the way, we're putting on DVD and CD, the roundtables. So for those of you who have asked, you'll be able to get them. I said to Wayne, so what do you feel you want to say to this family, this Gloucester County Community Church family, which you have been a part of since our very first Sunday? What do you feel you want to say to them? The Spirit is saying to us as a church family.
Revival is messy. And revival will turn things right side up, you know. We were in Africa, in South Africa, last March, and we were also in Paris, France. And there's one thing that I noticed there is that there's a revival among young people, especially in France, in a country where churches were forced to close their doors, God has raised up a church in Paris called Paris Christian Center, where they're absolutely defying the norm, and about 4,000 to 5,000 people every Sunday get together to storm against the gates of hell.
Amen.
And I noticed there, if God can do it in Paris, He can do it here.
Amen.
If God can bring revival in South Africa and in third world countries, surely His glory can be seen in the United States.
One of the, I think it was our first night, Wayne. Remember when we spoke about revival, and Wayne said, revival isn't anything, in essence, that we can orchestrate. It's a move of God in His time frame. Now, we can initiate our own individual revival. We can seek God and align ourselves so that we're positioned so when God brings revival, we're ready for it. But revival has always been in God's timing. And one of the things we said was that it always comes out of the darkest hour. And when you said that years ago, where's my honey? Were we in the theater or were we in the PMC building when we supported that family that went to France? Remember, we did it for 5 years. Were we PMC or was it the theater?
Theater.
We had a family come in. We interviewed them. We supported them for 5 years. I think it was 0.5% of the French people who were born-again Christians. 0.5%, the whole population.
Wow.
And after 5 years, they quit.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they had a convert.
Right.
And as you were talking, I was thinking, think how different that was. I mean, we were in a theater, so it was at least 20, could be 30 years ago.
Right.
Because we're 34 years, 4 years in the PMC, 10 years in the theater. And now, in the darkest hour.
Well, it's not just our time. It is our turn.
Yes.
And so when God decides that He's going to reverse things, He can do it in a moment. Things will not remain as they are today. You all begin to look for change. Change is coming.
Yes.
Change is imminent.
Yes.
Change is upon us.
Yes.
And God can do it in a moment. In the flash of an eye, God can bring change. And I know that it's coming. I'm glad it's coming to my city in Nashville, Tennessee. And I know it's coming to Sewell, New Jersey, and the South Jersey. Aren't you glad it's coming?
Amen. So on Thursday night, Thursday night, I think, was our lightest crowd. Everybody had been here for 3 days, took off one. But to me, it was one of the most precious services we had. Ron spoke, you know, the old man. And he was so blasted funny. I hadn't laughed that hard in years. I mean, I was just, I could, and the group did some old hymns, which they may do this morning. It was just marvelous. But Ron Morschel spoke as a person who had all his life come through revivals. You remember that?
Yeah.
And I love what he said. He said, this is revival, revive 2. I hope there's a revival, revive 16. And I was reminded of the quote by Billy Sunday. They say, revival doesn't last. He said, neither does a bath.
Yep.
That's why we take one. Yeah. And that's why we have revival. Because it, as you said last night, it's focus.
Yeah.
It takes all the distractions. But you go to church 7 days in a row, 8 services, like many of us have. You're focused. You know, somebody said to me, we ought to do this for 30 days in a row. I thought, are you going to wake me up in the morning? But anyway, but it is, you know, it focuses us and it makes us as individuals align with His word and His will for our lives.
And when God is in the house, you don't get tired. You get renewed.
You do.
You know, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they'll mount up with wings as eagles and run.
Yeah.
And not get tired.
Isn't that what Jesus said to the disciples? You know, here he was. He was praying all night. They were sleeping.
Right.
But his prayer energized him to do what he needed to do the next day.
Yes.
Of course, Wayne, you only did it for 3.5 years. You and I have been doing it for a lot longer
than that.
Long time.
Well, maybe we've been laboring. It wasn't a labor to him.
No, it wasn't.
You know, it was easy because his burden is light.
Yes.
And even though he had such a mission and he accomplished that strong mission to save all of us. How many of you feel included because of what Jesus did? Do you feel it? Yeah. And so I have to embrace this move that is in the earth currently. I have to wrap my arms around it. And And I say something all the time. You have to participate in your own deliverance. God is not going to just do it just because. But you've got to participate in what God is doing for you and in you. You've got to give over. You've got to say, not my will, but yours be done.
And when you do that and you respond, guaranteed, the day you respond, Satan is going to throw
everything,
every lightning strike he has tell you what you did was wrong. And so rather than saying to God, why did this happen? You know, think of Elijah, Mount Carmel, has that great victory.
Right.
All the prophets of Baal are taken care of. God sends lightning from heaven.
Yes.
You know, strikes the altar. And what's he do? The next day, he's running for his life. He's underneath a tree saying, Lord, take it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the enemy struck.
This is going to be a peculiar year because 2017 is, in the Hebrew, 5777. And it means the clashing of swords.
Well, we're seeing that.
Yeah, we're going to have an upside down thing happen. But the church is here on purpose, sent from God, that we might stabilize the earth.
So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, you know, it could be no fault of your own.
Yeah.
You know, you grew up in a church and nobody ever said, hey, there had to be a time when you had to personalize your faith, where you had to receive Christ for the forgiveness of sin. I remember Florence Littower saying, I went to church all my life and never heard that I had to receive Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. So I didn't even know if I understood that I needed to receive him for my sins. I knew I was a sinner, but I just thought that if I lived a good enough life, that would cover my bases.
Right.
So I don't know what denomination you come from, but Scripture is clear. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet there's a remedy. Believe the truth about the remedy. But God demonstrates his love towards us, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Understand that when we receive Christ, therefore now is there no condemnation to those who are in him, Romans 8:1. I would say this throughout the prison. Guess what? You don't have to be held in bondage. You can have freedom inside these walls. Therefore is there now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And for those listening, you know, that sentence of sin doesn't have to be stamped upon you. You can be stamped pardon. See, commit your life to his righteousness. Say, I'll be a follower of Christ. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No, but I'll tell you what it does mean. You know who your daddy is.
Amen.
And when you sin, you feel absolutely awful, miserable, because you know that what you're doing is grieving your dad.
That's right.
And that's how you know you belong. So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Forgive me for the things I've done that are wrong. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, Blaine, what do they do?
Well, Bruce, what they should do is this. Call us toll-free at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433 and request our ABC pamphlet. It's a free gift for those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce, and it addresses some of the questions about salvation and suggestions of what to do next, like reading God's Word, attending church, and fellowship with Christian friends. You can also get a copy at cbtw.org. On our website, you can also find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ and how to support Changed by the Word. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community and all around the world, including nations like Nigeria, China, and Singapore, just to mention a few. And blessings like that only happen from the prayers and sacrificial gifts of our Changed by the Word Good Sam partners. Those of you who have been blessed by Changed by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing in other cities and countries, consider partnering financially with us. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW icon in the top toolbar, or call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433, and join our Good Samaritan team. Join us tomorrow right here at Changed by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.